another Saturday, and here we are, and we're going to be here for many more Saturdays. As I said, a couple of weeks back, I said, WANA, W-A-N-A, we are never alone. And our theme, the subheading for this week is Love in the Time of Cholera. It may sound funny, but I think my alter ego will give you an idea of what we're talking about. And I, many times in growing up, I always thought about, would I like to live back when I could have been a pirate on the sea with a sword and the rest of it? Or do I like living now where I have a hospital down the road if I need it? Or other things, and we have technology. I can go around the world without saying goodbye for a couple of years. So we have to understand what we have and what we're living with and what we're fighting for. As I said, we are all responsible for doing our job of keeping this great nation that we own together and the rest of it, even if nobody else does it. Leadership is something that happens sometimes and doesn't always happen. And so we're going to have an interesting Saturday, I believe. And I hate to say it, I'll explain it a little later, but we'll talk about what's going on with how we're being used as a peoples by the wonderful lack of leadership in our federal government, but we can go from there. Anyhow, my alter ego has a bunch of interesting stuff for you today. I've got a lot of things I want to talk about, but one of them, I'll just throw it out at the beginning. All the states and cities, all of them, should sue the federal government for not protecting them from an invasion from this virus, especially when the president said he was going to build up and protect us from everything, including people with fences. So I guess he forgot that there are things smaller than people that can hurt you more. And he built up, he told you how great he's made the military, how he doesn't need generals, he's a genius, he thinks of everything. Yet he wants to say he's not responsible. They didn't send him big bulletins from China saying, hey, we got this, you're gonna get it. Anyway. So we'll talk about that later, but let my alter ego give you some interesting things about pandemics and whatever, and you'll understand why we use the title Love in the Time of Cholera.
Well, good morning, everyone. Always a pleasure to be here with your host and all of you. I chose Love in the Time of Cholera because it's a book by an author who is Colombian. The book is called Love in the Time of Cholera. The author's name is Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Most of his books have been translated into multiple languages in the world. The book itself was written in 1985, but it was during the cholera outbreak. So he's actually looking at a certain period of time. It is a love story, so I encourage everyone to read it. But I thought we have the coronavirus. You know, living and loving in the time of the coronavirus is kind of interesting. So I do want to go through, just for a couple seconds, please, people take the time to go and research some of these things so that you understand that we can't just brush off a pandemic or a virus and make it look like it's nothing. Really, personally, I'm tired of people telling me about how many car accidents happen in the U.S. per year and how many people die of cancer. Obviously, people don't understand the difference between per year versus 3 months. In 3 months, you have almost 80,000 people who have died, and you have over 50,000 car accidents a year. That's in a year. Same thing with cancer. Same thing with people who have AIDS. You can actually control AIDS by the behavior that you exhibit or not. And that doesn't include people who are infected because they got blood transfusions that were infected. I'm talking about your own personal behavior. This is a little bit different. So the first cholera pandemic occurred in the Bengal region of India in 1817 and lasted for 7 years to 1824. It spread from India to Southeast Asia to the Middle East to Europe and Eastern Africa. And why did that happen? Because of trade routes. The second one went from 1826 to 1837, 11 years, people, and it affected North America and Europe. Again, advancement in transportation, more global trade, more human migration, more wars where soldiers were being moved from one location to the other. The third one started in 1846. By the way, we're still talking about cholera. That one lasted until 1860 and went all the way from North Africa to South America and actually affected Brazil the most. The fourth one went from 1863 to 1875, another 12 years, and it spread from India to Naples and Spain. We've had another one that started in 1899 all the way to 1923, and this one went to Egypt and the Arabian Peninsula and Persia, back to India and the Philippines, then Germany in 1892, Naples from 1910 to 1911. I only bring this up so that people could get an idea of what's going on. And then in the Americas, in the 20th century, in the early 1900s, it happened in New York, went to the Caribbean, and et cetera, for another century. People, just pay attention. Louis Pasteur did come up with a vaccine that's only 65% effective. It doesn't give you permanent immunity. If you study the world, you will note that around the world, there's still cholera outbreaks. You know why? Because of water not being treated, feces not being treated. You live in communities where you don't have the proper mechanism for making sure that the things that we need are kept safe. Similar to what's happening here in the US, right? Everybody keeps saying we don't want the government in our lives. So the President Trump has come in and has taken, you know, certain regulations away. We're not regulating water. We're not regulating our air. Michigan had contaminated water. So we have to be careful that we also don't end up suffering through a cholera outbreak. It is not a pretty picture.
Let me just say again, good morning to Casey Keith and Lisa Sarniak and anybody else who's tuned in, hasn't sent us their name. We appreciate that all of you listen. And let me say, the reason, Love in the Time of Cholera, I've read the book also. He is a famous author. He's written a lot of interesting books. But the cholera epidemic, as my alter ego has pointed out, it still comes up in countries. The vaccine is limited in its ability to control. However, these countries are countries that we do business with. So if we don't help develop the infrastructure for their sewage, for their water, we can get people who come here as foreign students to study medicine, to study anything. You can't ban all of this. The planet has gone smaller. I am happy that I live in a time that I can move better, do better things, and have more science available to help me. We just have to understand how to use it instead of being with our heads in the sand and just fighting each other with politics. That doesn't help us survive. So again, let me let my alter ego continue, but Love in the Time of Cholera, you could see it went over almost 100 years before the Spanish flu.
Let me remind people a little bit of history. We had a president called James K. Polk. Guess what took his life? Cholera. So just so you know, and immigrants that were coming from England spread cholera throughout the Mississippi River system, killing over 4,500 people. In St. Louis, Missouri, over 3,000. In New Orleans, 1,000 died. In New York, 200,000 people were killed in Mexico. So this is not just something that stays in those other parts of the world the way the president tries to make it look. And today we're traveling by plane. It takes very little time to go by ship from one country to another. So just remember that. We did have a president that actually died from the cholera outbreak.
And that's, you didn't have any automobiles to say, well, look at how many people die in cars. So you didn't bought, you dealt with the issue at hand that was killing people all over the place.
So I encourage everybody to go and take a look at that. I want to mention something right quickly before I go over the agenda that I will be covering. and of course your host and I usually go back and forth. I want to talk a little bit about discrimination. And the reason why I want to mention that is because we have a president who's decided that it's us against them. We have an economic civil war that's going on between North and South, thanks to him. We have people who've decided it's okay to break the law because he has destroyed our democracy. Effectively, we have no democracy left. What we have is a dictatorship at this point. You gotta read history and people pay attention. Chinese, and I know I talk a lot about blacks and whites and Latinos on this show, a lot about different things. But you know, the Chinese were discriminated just as badly as Africans, African Americans. I just like to say black. Africa is a big continent with different countries, and I personally hate to be called that because you don't know if I come from Nigeria, Egypt, or whatever. But blacks at that moment in time in the 1800s, right after the Civil War, and right after the Northern troops left the South region and Reconstruction failed, we had tremendous amount of killings by whites. And very interesting, because white people at that time and today, the same thing. Every time they get into some kind of trouble, it's somebody's problem, it's somebody else that has caused it, is never them. They hated the fact that the Chinese were coming here, and most of it was because of the opium wars that took place between Britain and China, and that left China in a lot of debt. So in 18...
Understand, the opium wars was us bringing opium to China and making them addicted.
Absolutely. So, you know, when you start talking about China and you want to talk about politics, you need to read the history and understand why we're here today and why they feel the way they do. So in 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 was actually put into law by our Congress because they wanted to placate all the whites who felt they were losing their jobs because of the Chinese. And they restricted and or banned immigration by the Chinese here into the U.S. What's interesting is that prior to the law in 1882, as far back as 1875, Americans considered Chinese women prostitutes and treated them as such. And of course, women didn't have a voice at all. But if you were black or Chinese, you totally had no voice. So they decided they wanted no Chinese women to come to the U.S. And a lot of Chinese, of course, created what we now know today as Chinatowns in various parts of this country. But the Chinese basically were in California, in San Francisco. And when you read the things that we as Americans did to the blacks and the Chinese, it's so disgusting. It makes you want to cry. Every Chinese person, you should not be discriminating against blacks at all. And you should really be thanking black people for their civil rights movement, because everybody that's non-white has really benefited from that movement. But they even impose what they call a foreign miners tax of $3 a month to target Chinese miners. And then you ended up with more crime and more violence. And in 1854, the Supreme Court ruled in People versus Hall that Chinese people like African Americans and Native Americans were not allowed to testify in court. So they could never, ever win a case. So in 1882, they started the first 10 years of the Chinese Inclusion Act. And then you had a congressman named Thomas J. Geary, G-E-A-R-Y. And he introduced the Geary Act that went into effect in 1892. It reinforced the extension of the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 for another 10 years. Chinese residents that were already here had to carry special documentation proving that they were allowed to be here from the Internal Revenue Service. If they were caught without it, they were sentenced to hard labor and deported, and no bail was allowed for them. So I just want people to start thinking of where we're at today, and are you going to continue to allow a president and his entire party to continue dividing us And by the way, the reason why they didn't want Chinese here, because they didn't look like the Europeans. Their eyes were slanted, they wore their hair long, they had things on top their head, just like the Jews when they wear the yarmulke, you know, people think, oh my God, what is this going on? So they also were not allowed to be citizens. And in 1875, in Eureka, California, the people of that area of California burned Chinatown and burned the Chinese residents that were there, killed them and drove them out, and put a law in place that they could no longer reside in that area. But by the way, the law stayed in the book until 1950. Think about it, 1800s to 1950s. This is why history is important. I'm not going to say anything more about this. I just wanted to bring this up so we understand when politicians talk about this is not who we are as American, that's a lie. This is exactly who we are. We do these kinds of discriminatory things. We're very hateful towards people that don't look a certain way, but we continue to fight to make the country better. And here we are with a president who's unraveling everything that people have fought for: democracy, some freedom to be able to live a good life. It may not be a perfect life, but a good life.
This is why I stress voting is important, because it's our country, we own it. And I'll just give you a grand overarching view. Abraham Lincoln, as I said, is one of my favorite presidents. He had great foresight, the Transcontinental Railroad, and a whole bunch of other things. But he's called a great emancipator. Well, it's a great thing of how he thought and what he fought for and what he did, and he was a great leader. However, when he got shot, the person who was second on the ticket became the president. The president who took over, Lincoln used him back in those days, even politically, to get more votes to make sure he won. That person unwound everything that the war was about and everything else. That's why the South, after the Civil War, started imprisoning people by picking them off the street as vagrants if they had no money, and sending them in the mine where they could never pay their debt off till they died. So a leader is important, who we elect. If we sit back because we are missing an issue in somebody who's running versus somebody who we know destroys the country for their own good and is only interested in what's in their pocket, not how we survive. That's why you all got to get out and vote.
And I totally agree. And I gotta tell you, the Republican Party, go back in history. I'm gonna stick to the 1800s. Why? Because this white racial identity thing started in 1875 after the North left the South and left Reconstruction to fail. And presidents from that moment on have used race to keep the white population always agitated and always angry at everybody, especially in the South. Notice the presidents when they come on and they're running for office. Newt Gingrich did it effectively in the 1990s. It's us versus them. Oh my God, these black people are taking your jobs away. The majority of the jobs were being lost were up executives and technical jobs that only white people held. There weren't people of color who held these jobs. They weren't running companies. But because he knows how effective that messaging is, they use it. They continue to use it. Bush used it. Reagan used it. Trump is using it. Continue, the party as a whole, continue to have this crap. And I will, ask every person in the South and out West, you keep voting for Republicans and your life is still miserable. Why are you blaming Democrats? Why are you blaming liberals? Why are you blaming blacks? They're not the ones that are running your state, your city, your counties. So why are you doing that? It's because you are not reading your history and you will rather feel like you have control, and they are good at that type of messaging to people.
Again, Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president, the great emancipator, Once he was shot, the party took a turn a different way. Does it mean you hate the party? I've said before in my podcast, if you don't like Trump and you can't vote for a Democrat, there's a guy called Bill Weld who's on a ticket. So go out and vote for him. But you want to vote for something that makes sense for the country. And I don't vote for a party. I vote for the better of the two people who are the main ones that would get elected. Because I want the person who's going to cause the least damage. And I hate to say this, we have a lot to repair that will all come out in the next few years when you see what has been done to our government. I won't go into that. I've talked about it before, but I put one line down. To summarize this, Americans get it. The national government is a billboard. A billboard is not something that's alive. It's just a big piece of canvas or wood that they put a slogan on to get you all angry and everything else and make you do something. Our future is in our hands. Period. We own the country. We can do what we want done if we're smart. And we got a lot of information at our hands that we never had before.
So I want to talk about Stephen Moore. I'm one of these people, unlike a lot of people who only listen to one type of news, Fox News, and Breitbart News, and they don't want to hear anything about anything else. I listen to BBC News. I need the picture of Stephen Moore up, please. I listen to BBC News. I listen to Al Jazeera. I listen to Fox News. I listen to all of it. You know why? Because that's the only way you're going to know what's going on. So I'm listening to BBC May 2nd, in case you want to go and see it for yourself. And he was representing the U.S. In the discussion about the coronavirus and trade. And they had a representative from China that was also there to discuss what was going on. You know what? I am tired of the lies of this entire administration and the Republican Party is shameful. But I got to give it to the Chinese because every time they hit back, Mr. Stephen Moore looked confused and as stupid as you see his picture right now. He had the nerve again to try to blame everything that's happening on the U.S., on China. No, we had a president. That's what leaders do. You take control of things and you do something with it. The president has been lying and lying and lying since January. So stop blaming somebody else for what you are not capable or didn't do. But the thing that concerned me the most, because the last time I was here, I talked about the national debt and who owns the majority of our debt. Mostly people from outside of the US, Japan, China. And he decided, and the president, that they were gonna go after China for reparations for the mishandling of the virus that the president and the entire Republican Party has done. And that they were not going to pay out the interest of the US Treasury bills that China owns. People, you better pay attention to this because this is not what you want to see. By the way, I still believe that Trump is getting paid off on the back end by Saudi Arabia, by Russia, and even China, with all these little discussions that they have going back and forth. But Treasury bills is a different story because we, the federal government, owns these Treasury bills. So pay attention to that. I just wanted to bring that up. That's his face, Stephen Moore. I always also want to talk about Governor DeSantis, who's just another coward, a follower, doesn't have a brain, just goes along with whatever the heck Trump wants him to do. I'm really wondering what Trump has on all these guys that they're incapable of making any kind of decisions. What bothered me most, and by the way, this was on Fox News, just so you know, and you don't start going crazy, DeSantis has decided that he doesn't want the state's medical examiners to report deaths that are related to the virus. So he's lying yet again. And you know, I understand the economic scenario that's going on. I don't agree with the $2 trillion that was given out to companies and rich people and all these people that don't need it. I still say, why should people on Social Security, Why should people who are working, why should people who are retired, why are they getting any money? I will never understand it. And why are big corporations, sporting corporations where they have billions of dollars and they have the nerve to be stealing the money? Stealing is what they're doing from the small businesses that need it. So pay attention to the numbers that Governor DeSantis is actually reporting. He's lying, and we will probably never know what the actual numbers in Florida are.
And understand this. In our country, because of the laws that we have that protect us from ourselves and people and everything, if you think about it, how many times you walk into a restaurant, fast food or otherwise, or into a lobby or someplace, and they got a little sign up in at least two languages saying the floor is wet, be careful. You know why? Because if you slipped and fell, there are so many cases that go through our country for slip and fall that people get paid for not being careful of where they're walking. And here, as my ego has told you, DeSantis doesn't want to report where this pandemic is and where the cases are. So you have no warning. I guess we just sue the governor, even though they want to say nobody's liable on their side, meaning the people in power.
Lisa, so, I want to thank you. Thank you for your comment. I love history, and I always believe that you can't go forward if you don't know what has happened before and today. How can you plan for the future if you don't, you know, really pay attention to these things? So thank you so much, and good morning, Kyoto. Thank you. And yes, interesting about polio, as you mentioned, you know, in the 1930s and 40s. You know, polio was something that was rampant all over the world.
I was born before there was a vaccine for spinal meningitis, which came around because of the people getting it during World War II. I was born toward the beginning of the war. And I almost died at about 17 months old from that disease. I do not know what the doctor did, but obviously I survived and was a big kid and healthy and everything else. But this is why I love living in our era. If we would concentrate on what we have and develop it, that's good for us as a people. We do have a system. We don't bother sitting down and making it so it serves us and our needs. That's what all the thing is between a Bernie and a Biden and the president who says, oh, I'm going to put a new system out there. We're going to get rid of the ACA. Well, he keeps us all jumping because that ACA is terrible. It was an attempt, as I've said before in podcasts, to give us a broader coverage for health, that people would have some choices on a state level, and they keep trying to kick it out without replacing it, so they don't care who ends up not having coverage. Think about it. Is that leadership?
I want to also talk about the million N95 masks that are coming from China. You'll notice the wonderful picture that I have there with our bill of our
George
president
Washington.
And of course, you know, his mask on. You know, when this president came to power, he lied again and said everything was broken. No, it wasn't broken. And people, you got to remember, George W. Bush, Reagan did the same thing, broke the economy and left us in a shambles. And as much as you may hate it, the black guy named Barack Obama came in and had to fix it. Union workers, I used to be a union worker, and I'm always upset when unions vote for Republicans like they don't remember the history of how unions were formed and how Republicans have done nothing but to try to break the union and get rid of it. He came in, he saved union jobs, he propped up the auto industry, he helped the banks, and you have to help the banks. You have to help insurance companies because the majority of people who are on pensions, guess who pays those pensions out, people? So if you wanted to see more people out on the street, then don't help them. And guess what? They paid the money back. Stop listening to lies and just go and research for yourself. For goodness sake, the information is out there. You don't have to listen to me, but I get upset because he said, make America great. I found it an insult because America was already great. And if you actually believe that, then you don't believe and didn't believe in your country to begin with. And what bothers me is we have no manufacturing in our own country. We hate China, but we had to get a million N95 masks from China. And guess what? The governor of Massachusetts had to strike a deal directly with China. And the only way that he could get those masks here was by using the New England Patriots 767 plane. Thank you, New England Patriots, for doing that. But how despicable and embarrassing. He had the nerve to say Barack Obama was leading from behind. Hell no, he wasn't. But Trump is leading from behind. He's a coward. We should not have to do this. And here we are giving our money to a country we claim we hate because we can't make it here ourselves.
And again, also the Republican governor of Maryland, kudos for him. His wife is Korean. She had the right ties. He had her make calls, and he had a jet that landed, and he met it with the National Guard because he knew that Jared and the federal government were confiscating stuff coming in the country so that they could put it in their supplies and distribute it as they saw fit, not to the Americans who needed it, but to the people who paid them a fee for getting it. And sometimes it came here and we sent it to other countries. That's what it's, let me just remind you, Hitler and Stalin, both of them, when they gained control of their country, they used their own people, forget about the ones they persecuted, but also their own people, for major projects to do better things, and they, in effect, made them like working prisoners. You've got Donald Trump right now, who's using what I will refer to as the Holocaust strategy. You don't care what happens to these people, you care what your power base is. He is sending Americans or people who are working at all of these meat processing and other factories, ordering them in effect back in, letting the factories open, fixing it so the factories, it's under their own control, whether they report, whether they put plastic, give them safeguards. So if you want to see our food supply get really messed up, and you tell me there's only one person I can point to that this will do something good for, and his name is Putin, okay? So you tell me why he's doing that, where he's giving them whatever they want, because they're backing him. And if they don't understand that if they kill a lot of Americans and you can't feed them, because look at the lines that have been at these places. Americans are rising to it and giving food and other things. That shouldn't be the way it happens. We have better systems. Understand, it doesn't really matter what happens to us as long as he gets what he wants, which is no matter what Donald does, when it comes out later and you read it, I want you to understand throughout his life, the only important thing is what money goes into my pocket. Period. Period. So no matter what story you hear, that's all that he's really looking at. It's really simple.
And it's very shameful that you have $1 trillion and $1 billion CEOs, your Warren Buffetts, all these guys. They want to keep the status quo. So they'll continue backing him because they love the tax cuts. They don't pay taxes. We, the schmucks, the working people, are the ones who have to pay for them to have multi-million dollar homes, multiple cars and planes and all this other crap. By the way, I don't have anything against people who have money. Everybody strives to do that. What I do dislike is when they take money from the treasury and then have the nerves to blame average workers and cut services because we are a burden, but not the ones who are getting all this free crap. They call us socialists. You're right, because we're not the socialists. The wealthy people are the socialists because they're getting all these things. We are the democratic people where they're sticking their foot on our necks and making us feel like we're the problem. We are not the problem. So I want to go over to...
Let me quickly just say, I've got a lot of stuff that came through my mind and what's going on and where we can go. Because again, we can take control of our country by how we vote and what we do. We have more power than any of the millionaires and billionaires, and I am not against them. I love our free enterprise and our capitalist system. In fact, China got rich by copying our capitalist system. We helped them. Anyway, next week I will come in with things. You've all heard of the Marshall Plan. If you haven't, look it up. And I will discuss what it did and why and what some of the things are we can do that nobody could stop us from doing if we want to. And we can, in effect, start to run our country the way we'd like to see it run, no matter who's in office.
I'm going to run through these other things very quickly because I do want the host to cover some of the things that he has in mind. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You will see this wonderful thing that says roads, not our roads. Why do I bring that up? Again, Donald Trump said, make America great again, make America great again. People in Texas, I want you to know that your government gave $1.38 billion of your money to a foreign company that's in Spain, by the way, to operate the next two portions of your North Tarrant Expressway that goes between Dallas and Fort Worth. You're going to tell me you don't have Americans, even American companies that could do that? So guess what? Your toll roads are going to go up. We have a company that owns six major U.S. toll roads in America. And the name of the company is called Cintra Concesiones de Infraestructura de Transporte, or Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A. So Texas, Indiana, they've got a 75-year lease that they signed with Indiana for toll road 75. It's a joke, really. Make America great? No. We're selling America. We don't control even our own damn roads. And this company has actually raised the tolls, right, in that Indiana toll road for five-axle trucks from $14 to $32. Because, of course, they're here to make money.
And those trucks bring us the goods and services and food we need. So we pay this for them to get an investment that gives them a great return. That's the point.
So, yeah. So now roads that weren't toll roads in Florida is doing the same thing, right? But think about this, people. Every time they put these toll roads and they automate, you know how many people are out of work? You know, workers, you got to start thinking about how these things affect you and stop talking about you don't want government in your lives and all these people are making all these money. No, they're not. They don't get paid a lot. But you know what? That could be your job, your children's job, your neighbor's job. Stop and start thinking. Every time you say that, you vote for these Republicans and they're giving you what you want. They're taking everything away. So when you're riding on some of these toll roads, please look it up. You can actually go to the Truckers Report. And the Truckers Report, let's go online, they will tell you the companies that own these toll roads, which are not American companies. They're overseas. So tell me why anybody in our state government is giving all of these contracts outside of the U.S., and then you have the nerve to be blaming foreign companies and foreign countries because they're not playing fair with the U.S.? No, it's your government and it's these corporations who are selling us out.
And understand this, when it comes to economics, if you had a company that made coffee or spaghetti or whatever, and they want to open up a store here and sell it, and they want to open up and put money in and hire people, that's okay. It contributes to our economy, depending on how they take it out. That's another story. But when you give and treat the United States like a big mall, and you allow the people who to control the front door and charge the Americans, in effect, for going in and out of their own roads, because those roads are paid for, in most cases, by government, local counties, states, and other bonds that we pay through our local taxes, and these people are living off our funding of their investment and earning money. That's different than bringing a coffee or a bake shop and selling cookies that maybe are made in Europe, but we'd like to eat here. as long as they treat us right and leave money in this country. Big difference, big difference. So same thing with these foreign car companies. They wanted to sell more to us. They opened here, but those state and local governments gave them concessions on taxes and stuff that we pay for. So Mercedes, BMW, I don't care who manufactures here, but let's not us subsidize them so they can come in our country and take our money out and leave none of it here, the profits that they send back to their country.
I want you to look at the picture. Judge Justin Walker, that Trump elevated to the federal bench. He's a Nazi, he's a racist. Hated the fact that, you know, the U.S. Supreme Chief Justice John Roberts actually upheld, at the time, the Affordable Health Care Act. Let me remind everyone, I always talk about cases that are out there, because I think that if you don't understand how your court system works, you don't understand why policy lasts 70, 100 years, 50 years in this country, and very hard to change it. The Affordable Health Care Act is up for total dismantling at the Supreme Court level as we speak. 26 U.S. Republican governors, along with Donald Trump. It started with Jeff Sessions. Of course, we got the corrupt William Barr and all these people now. They wrote a personal letter to the court asking them to completely get rid of it while they lie and tell you that they have something for you. Southerners, small communities, I see it on the news every day with this virus. You don't even have hospitals that are close enough to you to help you. And you're still voting against your own, you know, best interest. Stop and think for a moment. This is not a black and white freaking issue. And it's not about Republicans and the Democrats anymore. It's about what we need as a society to survive. The Affordable Health Care Act, period, has helped a lot of people in the South and out West and minors who would not have had anything. Does it need some changes? Of course, everything does. You redecorate your house for a reason. You change your relationships for a reason. Doesn't mean you destroy it. Pay attention. Well, this young man wants to go back to the way it used to be. We should have slaves. We should give blacks nothing. We need to get rid of, just like Mr. Miller. And he's a Jew, by the way. He's a Jew advocating for making sure that immigrants are killed and not allowed into the U.S. Jewish people, pay attention, because Hitler had Jews that he used to conquer a lot of these countries and murder Jews and murder religious people and old people and everybody else. They don't care. You gotta pay attention to these nominations. And now Mitch McConnell, he can't take care of anything else, but they wanna put another person up at the federal bench. These people are there for life. Every decision and every law that they undo affects all of us. Wealthy people don't care. They can always pay their way out. Look at what happened with Flynn yesterday. Nobody who's committing crimes in America that's white and rich will ever see the day in jail. Only people like me and you who work, who may need to steal a piece of bread to survive, they'll put us away forever. You know why? Because it's a money-making business. Need to stop. And you want to go out and protest? Protest about the things that they're taking away. Protest about the fact that they're creating two societies in America. The wealthy, and you must be white most of the time, because you got some black people who are wealthy who somehow think they belong to this club, and you got some wealthy Indians and some wealthy Arabs, and they think that, hey, it's not going to happen to me because I'm part of this little club that, you know, Donald Trump and everybody else has put together. They are the swamp people. He talked about getting rid of the swamp. No, he brought the swamp with him. He's getting rid of the people who would have looked after us. Is it perfect? Nothing is perfect. Americans and voters, you need to stop looking for perfect, and you need to start participating in your local government, in your state government, in your federal government.
Let me just say that when you look at Florida, for example, Governor Scott, I talked about him a long time ago in the podcast, how when he got in as governor, he was already a known criminal who, because he was very wealthy, he agreed to pay X millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, actually, to get out of not going to jail as a settlement. Then he comes and spends a lot of money to become our governor, and he used that to enhance the assets that he was selling. But then as governor, what did he do? This unemployment system that we use on the state level, where you get your money when you're not working, he let a contract, which I'd love to see the contract and who he gave it to, of $78 million almost to fix our unemployment system. It works like shit. Governor DeSantis has even said so. He's a Republican and he's in now. Governor Scott, probably got something out of that beside telling you how great he was and he became a senator. We're paying this man to rob us, in plain English. He gets his money while the Floridians cannot get their unemployment. His system that he enhanced that isn't working, that people can't get into, has kicked almost half of them off, shortened the time you can collect, cut the dollars down. Study him. Look him up on the internet.
I want to mention Lisa. Thank you. Yes, we have seen how they're being threatened by the white supremacy groups, which Trump has supported from the day he started running anyway. But we, as Americans, have sat back and done nothing about it. Democrats need to be more vocal. They need to be as nasty as these people at times, because being nice is not going to work. Also, Arlene Fajardo de Velasquez, yes, it is insanity. Hopefully they'll convict them. I doubt it, but at least they arrested them. I guess it's for show. And I just also want to make a point that you need to follow your host on Stitcher. You need to follow your host on
Spotify.
You need to follow your host
on Instagram,
on Google Play, on the various podcasts that we have. I want to now go on to local election that's coming up. Joe Lopez registered for the race on Monday to become the next Orange County Sheriff. He's going against Mr. Mina. I want to say that I was called to support Mr. Lopez. I don't know much about him, but I will say this. I don't like when I get called and I'm told the following. He's running because there are too much crime in Orange County. They had 10 murders during this coronavirus, and they have 4 million people in Miami, and they didn't have any violence. By the way, most of us had been on lockdown. My question is, what kind of crime? Was it a domestic crime? You can't control that. If a husband and wife are fighting and he decides to shoot her and stab her, there's yep. nothing you can do. And then they brought up issues about women. I got to tell you, we need to start talking about women, and we need to start talking about family. There are a lot of men who don't make any money either, just like a lot of women. Most of us working schmucks, our husbands don't make crap any more than we do. It's only when you get to the upper echelon and then you get women who are complaining they're making $10 million, but they're not being treated fair and all these other things. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about women at the bottom. I want to hear about things that people can do at the local level that they have control over. You don't have any control over abortion rights at the local level. Please, let's stop this nonsense of trying to hold people to the fire on that. Until they start getting into the federal level where they control some of these policies, tell me what you're going to do for my community. But I just mention it so that you can go online and kind of take a look at what Mr. Mina is all about and what Mr. Joe Lopez, who's running against him again, is all about.
Let me just say, it's really important for you to understand that Donald Trump put in these rules that nobody should go back and reopen no states until they had at least 14 days. I talked about it when it first came, and I said, those rules are going to come back to bite everyone. He has since rescinded all those rules because he wants them all to open. As I said, like a Holocaust leader, he wants to just shove people out there to do work so we can have our economy going, so he can tell us how great our economy is. He doesn't care how many people are dead and lost. Let me say this. We were invaded by a virus, okay? He did nothing to really get it going and still has done nothing to run it. So I want you to understand, I had a statement that you want to think about. The doctors, the nurses, and all the hospital and ambulance workers, you could tell I'm getting used to my mask, serving the federal government's purpose of dealing with an invasion. Because the federal government didn't have a core of military and this great might that he's built up to deal with this bug. So all of the hospitals, etc., had to get out there, and it was the local authorities, the governors, the mayors, the rest, that put them on the front lines. Now, this is an invasion by a virus. They're handling all of these sick people like a MASH unit. Their lives are in danger. They're not collecting fees. In some cases, they're going to end up arguing with insurance companies if they'll even get money back. So these people that we're all clapping for at 7 o'clock in a lot of cities, they should bill the federal government for all of their time, because the hospitals have expenses and overheads that nobody's funding. And Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell have said, well, let the blue states go bankrupt. The virus is spreading into the red states. They're not going to talk that way when they can't leave their house. Be smart, people. Understand what's going on. It's our country. We should fund the reimbursement of all this money not collected while all of these people fought this invasion and are still fighting it. Imagine if they didn't go to work because there were no regular patients. Who was going to put anybody out there? They are our workforce that are helping us fight this invasion. We deserve to fund it, period.
I want to say, stay safe. Please tag us wearing your face mask by using hashtag AE equals MC squared mask. Let us see that you're wearing it, because we're wearing ours. I took the test, I tested negative, but tomorrow I could test positive. If you care about your neighbor, your community, your children, because by the way, the one thing I hate is that they continue saying that only older people are impacted. That is not true. Young people are being impacted and they're dying. I don't consider a 30 and 40 and 50 year old, even 60 old. So do not think that it's just those decrepit people in nursing homes and we can afford to lose them. It's everyone. So if you just want to be kind, even though they're lifting all these restrictions, just wear your mask, you know, for a bit until we see how far this is going to go, and then move on. It's nothing wrong with that. I have one other thing, a couple of things, but I'm going to make it very quickly. We show you Matt Bevin, the Kentucky governor, again, a Republican, who was pardoning violent criminals after he lost to the Democrat. Tell me why that man is not in jail. Oh, I'm sorry. He's a white Republican, so it's okay for him to let killers and rapists of children go by using the pardon power. I want everyone to start thinking about marching and setting up organizations where these laws are changed and the president and these governors do not have this power to pardon whoever the hell they want. We need to put a stop to that, people. That needs to go away. So I just want you to think about that.
Mitch McConnell, to that end, has recognized that Trump may not win. So he's now grabbed the Senate back, even though they were supposed to not be in session because of the doctor for the Senate saying they shouldn't be packed together, because he wants to fill in as many more judges as he can get in to control us for the rest of our lives. That's what we're dealing with, people who are utilizing their power for their own interest, not the interest of the people of our country.
Okay, I want to bring up one quick thing and then I'll turn it over to the host. Stimulus checks. Congress, again, everything that has passed the Senate to try to help the average working person started with the Democratic Congress. The difference is that they're not loud and obnoxious like Trump and the Republican Party, and you're forgetting all of that. But they introduced a bill where they would pay $2,000 a month to Americans of a certain age who are workers who've lost their job, or people who are making under a certain amount of money, so that they can continue earning and having something if their jobs don't come back. I encourage all of you to please, please, please go online and take a look at what this bill is, what they're proposing. It was proposed by Tim Ryan. He's a Democrat out of Ohio, and Ro Khanna, who's a Democrat out of California. Take a look at what they're trying to do. It may need to be tweaked a little because, as far as I'm concerned, it should only go to people who have lost their jobs, period, not to anybody else, because that's the way they do it in Europe. They've always been that way. And since we like to emulate other people in other countries until election time comes and we try to tell people that we are Americans, this is the way to be done. So just look it up.
Let me try and bring some of these thoughts together. As I said, next week I have stuff I want to try and present to you about what we can do as a nation, as a people, to better take control of what happens to us. Teresa Horsley, Teria, okay, if they got it wrong, I apologize, on Facebook. You haven't gotten your check yet. Believe me, you're in the majority. Because the monies that have gone out, and my background is finance, accounting, taxes, economics, the money that has gone out went out mainly to the big people that Trump had in his office, the major banks. He kept talking about the Bank of America. He will tell you, and I'll talk about it because I didn't get to talk about it last week, how he put all this money out there to help us. He's deciding, one of my statements was, that Trump is treating the population like cattle and is forcing them back to work. And then the other one is that it's our money, but the president is deciding who should really get it. So the big companies that didn't need it, because they're supported by us. People who own franchises in the NFL and NBA and the rest of it, yes, I worry about the players, but the owners are multi-billionaires, generally speaking. So we got to watch how we give the money out.
I will say, again, we don't worry about players. They're
yes.
making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Not all of them, but again, they don't need it generally, and they have organizations that support them, including the owners who need them when they open up business, because they took them because of their talents that they need. So again, what's needed, as I said, is we have to start filing a suit against the federal government for paying all the doctors, nurses, and all these first-line people, the EMTs, the transportation people, everybody who supported us through this invasion. And the president who said he's a wartime president, okay? So we have to really understand that you're going to get all of these things coming at you that are mainly lies. And again, it's the Democrats who forced more money on him, and he's taking credit for all the money that he's distributing, but he's not distributing it to everybody who needs it. There are better methods, and he wouldn't allow discussions on that. Again, it's our country. We're going to do it. We're almost done. We started a couple minutes late, so we're running a minute or two over. I appreciate you listening. I am not for overthrowing our government. We got the best country, the best system. It's just every now and then we fall asleep. 2017, 2018, the population was waking up. I hope this pandemic and the way things are going makes you understand that in 2020, we don't need this idiot who doesn't know what he's doing running the government. He says, no, I'm not responsible, but I'm in charge. I have absolute authority, but I'm not going to do that. The governors should do it. We're done. Have a great weekend. I will come up with the American Marshall Plan. By the way, Marshall was an American. Look him up. Great guy. Have a great weekend, folks. Glad to talk to you.